chapter 6. We've already spent 2 weeks on what is called the Sermon on the Plain, because it says in verse 17 of Luke 6, he went down with them and stood on a level place, and he began to teach his disciples. And we looked at blessings and woes 2 weeks ago, the first part of it, and then we looked at loving your enemies, the second part of that, last week. So now, today, we're going to look at a section which in the NIV is headed Judging Others. It's Luke chapter 6 from verse 37 to verse 42, and let me read it for you first. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. Jesus always used very nice language. You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Well, this passage is like last week's passage. The meat of the teaching is contained in the first few lines. The rest of the passage expands on that teaching, qualifies it, explains it, and applies it. But last week, we looked at verse 27 down to verse 36, and we saw that really Jesus says four things, and they're all right at the beginning of the passage. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. And then fifthly, later on in verse 30, give to everyone who asks you. And the rest of the passage explained that. And it's a similar thing this time. And this passage, the meat of the teaching is in verse 37 and the first sentence of verse 38. And it contains, or it comprises, two don'ts and two do's. As with last week, the teaching's fairly simple. Applying it is not always that easy, but the teaching is quite simple. Two don'ts and then two do's. Do not judge. Do not condemn are the two don'ts. Forgive and give are the two do's. Do you see that there? Verse 37, first chapter, verse, sentence, verse 38. So we want to talk about that. So if you like, we have four instructions for living. Two don'ts and two do's. And of course, these are general instructions for all of our living, for all of our life, all of our relationships. But it does follow on from this passage about enemies. So it's particularly an instruction. It's not that it isn't relevant to everybody else, but it's particularly an instruction towards those who are our enemies or who have hated us or cursed us or ill-treated us. And towards those people in particular, Jesus is saying, do not judge. Do not condemn. Yes, to everyone else too, but particularly towards those people. Those are the people that we are most inclined to judge and condemn. And he says, do not judge, do not condemn. We are most inclined to not forgive and not give to. And he's saying, no, forgive and give to even those people. And these basic instructions also follow on from the verse that we finished off with last week. Because remember, there's no divisions in the original text that Luke wrote. So when he ends off the previous passage by saying, be merciful, well, that leads directly to do not judge. Because to judge somebody is the very opposite of being merciful, isn't it? So it's kind of, there's links here between the previous passage and particularly the previous verse. Be merciful. And part of being merciful is that we don't judge, we don't condemn. But instead, we forgive and we give to. And there's a basic principle that it runs through all four of these instructions. Two of them are don'ts, two of them are do's. But there's four instructions for living. And the basic principle is this, that as we do to others, God will do to us. Not just God, but even men. Think about it. It's not with men, it's not an inflexible law. But most times, if you're a person who goes around being very judgmental and judging people, you will find that people eventually will start being like that towards you. If you go around condemning, people eventually just write you off. No one wants to hang around somebody like that. If you go around, it's not an inflexible law with men, but it's generally true. If you go around being a very forgiving type of person, you will find that you will reap the same thing in return from men. And that if you're very generous and you give, you will reap from many men, you'll reap the same. So even in this life, even amongst men, this is true, but particularly towards God, Luke is saying, Jesus is saying, as you do to others, God will do to you. And if you judge, God's going to judge you. If you don't judge, God will withhold that judgment or show you grace, equally with condemning. And if you forgive, God forgives you. If you give to you, you'll find that God's going to give to you back. So that's the basic principle. Okay, now we need, those are general introductory comments. But now we want to focus on these two don'ts. And then later on, we'll just focus on the two do's. And the main verse, and the verse that the NIV has used as a heading for this passage, is that first statement, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Now, why I want to unpack this is because it's important for us to see what the passage is saying, what Jesus is telling us here, but it's very important for us to realize what he is not saying. Because I've heard some very one-sided applications of what Jesus or the Bible tells us in this area, because we're only looking at certain passages and not at other passages. So to explain what I mean here, I'm going to do something slightly differently. Instead of just unpacking the passage we're looking at, I'm going to look at some other scriptures so that we can see what does Jesus mean when he says do not judge. And let me start off by saying what I think he does mean. Then I want to go on and tell you what I don't think he means. Okay, so when he says do not judge, there's two things in particular that he's meaning. And this is what we are not to do. He means to judge somebody as if to condemn them. In other words, you think you have the right to set yourself up as somebody's judge. And then effectively, you become, you know, prosecuting counsel, judge, jailer, and executor all in one. You know how we can do that with people? We may not even be doing it consciously, but in our hearts we're doing it. We set ourselves up as somebody's judge, and we act as if we try them, we convict them, i.e. we find them guilty, we sentence them, and then we carry out the sentence. And the fact that the evidence that Jesus means that this is the kind of judging that we're not to do goes on in the very next sentence. He explains what he means by do not judge. He says, do not condemn. When we take it upon ourselves to judge people in a way where we convict them, we find them guilty, and then we condemn them accordingly, that's what he means. We are not to do that. Now, any of us can do that because it's in human nature to do that. But let's be honest, and some of us need to say we are particularly prone to doing that. It's not that others never do it, but I think there's certain personality types, and I would count myself as one of them. I have to be very careful that I don't fall into this trap. Those of you who see things very black and white, for example, you are in particular danger of falling into this trap. Because you see things very black and white. And those of you possibly who, like the Pharisees, you might feel that your lifestyle is slightly better than other people's lifestyle. You're also prone to falling into this trap. Because you think, well, I'm like this. Why can't they be? They should be. So if you see things particularly black and white, and you know, it's so clear, why can't they see it? They shouldn't be doing that. And in your heart, you judge them. If perhaps you've been involved in some things, you've left them behind, and you've somehow begun to think, well, that's because of your own goodness that you were able to do that. And then you start judging people who haven't left those things behind. So all of us need to watch ourselves in doing this. But I think some of us in particular can be in danger of doing it. We carry a judgmental heart or spirit towards other people. And the one thing that Jesus certainly means when he says do not judge, he means judge as in condemn. Setting yourself up as somebody's judge and condemning them. We're not to do that. But there's a second way, which he also goes on to explain, what he means here when he says do not judge. And that is to judge hypocritically. To think that we are somehow superior, and so we're in a position to judge, when in fact we're not superior and we're in no position to judge. And that's why he goes on in the third paragraph of this passage to do the bit about the speck and the plank, which is a very striking image. Notice how he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see? So what the guy that's being the judge, what are the two things he does about the plank in his own eye? Firstly, he pays no attention to it. And or secondly, he fails to see it. Now, somebody who fails to see the plank in their own eye is somebody who thinks that they're blameless. Who thinks that they're faultless, and so you fail to see the plank in your own eye. And even if you don't think yourself faultless, you think yourself superior. And when you think you're superior, you think, well, he's got the plank, I've got the speck. And so the phrase Jesus uses is that you pay no attention to the plank, because to you, you can't see it as a plank. You see it as a minor little thing. It's unimportant. It's just a speck. So these people who go around judging like this, they either fail to see the plank in their own eye or they pay no attention to it. And Jesus ends up by saying, you hypocrite. So when we adopt this judgmental spirit and we start sort of judging people and we condemn them, that's bad enough. But when we're doing it hypocritically, when we ourselves are guilty of the same things or similar things, then Jesus is particularly not happy. And if you think yourself faultless or superior, you will spend your life doing one of two things. You'll be looking down on people and you'll be trying to correct them. And that's what this plank person does in this passage. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? That's looking down at. And then he says, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye. That's the corrector. So if you find that you're somebody that's always kind of looking down on people, always wanting to correct them, you need to say, this could be a bit of the speck and plank story here in operating in my life. And Jesus got some stern words to say about it. So those two things Jesus certainly means when he says do not judge. We are not to judge as in to condemn people, to set ourselves up as a judge, to try them and convict them, find them guilty and sentence them, and we are not to judge hypocritically. And Jesus makes it plain that if we do that towards others, God will do that towards us. And the measure to which we will do it to others is the measure to which God will do it to us. And so when Jesus says at the end of verse 38, he's just spoke about do not judge, do not condemn, two don'ts, and he goes on to say two do's, forgive and give. At the end of verse 38, he says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, if we only read Luke's version, we would think that last line, the measure you use, it will be measured to you, only applies to that the fourth and last of the instructions, give and it will be given to you. And then he goes on, a good measure, pressed down, et cetera, for which the measure you use. And we think, well, that's just about the giving. No, it's about the judging, the condemning, the forgiving, and the giving. All four instructions that phrase refers to. For the measure you judge, you will be judged. For the measure you condemn, for the measure you forgive, and the measure you give, it'll be measured to you. You think, well, Nigel, you're just making that up. But if you go to Matthew's version of this similar material, Jesus makes it quite clear. I'll just read to you Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now that tells me that even though here in Luke 6, it may appear that that last line of verse 38 only applies to the giving, it actually applies to judging, condemning, forgiving, and giving. If we're like that towards others, God will be like that. And with the measure we use in judging or condemning, or equally forgiving or giving, the measure we use, God will use towards us. And so, it's good for us just to see that there are other places in scriptures, I'm sure we are aware, that have a similar message. I want to just read some of them to you, just so that you don't think in what I'm now going to go on to say, when I speak about what Jesus does not mean here, that you think I'm undermining what he's saying. I'm not in any way undermining what he's saying. I want to reinforce what Jesus has just said by showing you other passages of scripture say the same thing. So in Romans chapter 2, I'll read it for you. Verses 1, 2, and 3, it says this, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? It's Paul really saying, I could unpack that passage, but I'm just reading it to show you the way it reinforces what Jesus has just said here in Luke chapter 6. Later on in Romans 14, Paul is speaking about what we sometimes call gray areas, or what he calls disputable matters. There are things that are black and white in terms of how we should live and what we believe, but there are some things that are just gray. And like, for example, whether we should eat meat or not. That was a bit of a thing for the early church. And because some of them had been Jews previously, and there were all sorts of laws about what they should and could or couldn't eat. And Christians were saying, no, you can eat whatever you like. And Paul says it's a disputable matter. And this is what he says about it. He says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now, this is the kind of judging that Jesus was speaking about, Luke 6. Judging, condemning people when there's no need to and you have no right to. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on. That's exactly the kind of judging we've just been speaking about. Must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn. That we've just been speaking about that. So this passage, like Luke 6, is speaking about the wrong kind of judging. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? It's another thought that Paul adds in here that Jesus didn't make clear in Luke 6. But not only are you condemning someone when you have no right to, when you might be doing the same thing, so you would be hypocritical in doing so, but you're condemning somebody else's servant. And servants are answerable to their master, not to their fellow servants. So when we judge people, that's another thing that's wrong about it, is that we're taking it upon ourselves to judge Jesus' servant, but they're accountable to Jesus, not to us. And Paul goes on to say that. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he goes on later on in Romans 14. I read verses 1 to 4. But if I pick it up in verse 10, it says, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? Things we've just been speaking about. For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. That's another reason why we shouldn't be judging people. Because Paul says we'll all stand before God's judgment seat. And remembering that would make us a little less quick to judge people, because we ourselves are going to stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, blah, 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 so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. So you can see there are other passages. I could go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, where we looked at Colossians some years back, but where, again, similar to these things about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat and these kinds of rules and regulations, that we shouldn't judge others or let others judge us. And Colossians 2, verse 16 says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival. And so, and I could carry on, you can go and read James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, where James points out that there's only one lawgiver and judge, and he ends up saying, well, who are you then to judge your brother? You, a mere man. So all of these passages are reinforcing and confirming what Jesus taught us here in Luke chapter 6, that there's a kind of judging that we should not be doing. It's a judging that condemns, and it's a judging that is hypocritical. Does that mean that there is no place ever for a Christian to make a judgment about something? Because sometimes people take Luke chapter 6 and what Jesus taught here in Matthew 7 and Luke 6, Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Plain, and say, okay, well, you know, if you ever say about somebody's lifestyle that thing is actually wrong, then you're judging somebody and you should never say that. And I want to demonstrate that's not what Jesus is saying. So I've tried to explain quite carefully what he is saying. Setting yourself up as people's judges, being superior, thinking yourself faultless, condemning people, being hypocritical, judging somebody else's servant, forgetting that we will all appear before God's judgment seat. That kind of judging is not the kind of thing God wants us to be doing. But the New Testament and even this very same book, the Gospel according to Luke, will sometimes speak about a different kind of judging or a different kind of judgment. So here we are in Luke chapter, well, let me go back to Luke chapter 6. So let's go to Luke chapter 7 So it's only one chapter later. And no wonder I couldn't find that verse because I'm looking at Matthew chapter 7, Luke chapter 7. And Jesus is in the Pharisee's house from verse 36 onwards of Luke chapter 7. And a woman comes in, as we know, and breaks this jar of perfume and pours it over him. And the Pharisee who invited him is very upset and thinks if he knew what kind of, you know, if he really was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. He would never let her do that to him. And so Jesus tells him a parable to expose his what? His critical spirit, actually, the very thing we've just been speaking about. But notice what he says in Luke chapter 7, verse 40. Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which one will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. What did Jesus say? You have judged correctly. There's a different kind of judgment. Not all judging has to do with the kind that Jesus speaks against in Luke 6. You have judged correctly. What kind of judging is this? This is discernment. This is discerning or judging between truth and error, between right and wrong, between godliness and wickedness. That is simply discerning or judging between right and wrong, truth and error in spiritual things. The opposite, which is what this world wants us to do, is to reduce everything to gray. The doctrine of this world is everything is acceptable and don't call anything or anyone wrong. Think about it. And sometimes Christians, because they're hearing Jesus' words in Luke 6, they think, oh, well, then I shouldn't call anything or anyone wrong. I should just reduce everything to gray and say everything's acceptable. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. Because he tells Simon a parable, and then he asks him a question, and he has to make a choice. He has to judge between which is the truth here, which is the error. And Jesus says, you have judged correctly. In Luke chapter 12, so we're still in the same book in which Jesus said, do not judge. In Luke chapter 12, verse 47. Nope, I've got the wrong verse here. Sorry, let me just look at my notes again. 57. Okay, so let me start in verse 54. Jesus speaks to the crowd and he says, you see a cloud rising and immediately you say it's going to rain. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. And then Jesus comes up with this word again, hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? And then he says, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? You see, sometimes we are called upon to judge, to make a judgment. What is God doing here? What is interpret the times? What is God doing here? What is God saying? You're spiritually discerning what God is doing, what is happening in the world around us, what is happening in the spiritual realm. That is making a judgment, but it's a very different kind of judging to what Jesus was condemning back in Luke chapter 6. Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? Let me just again go leaping forward to some other texts and you will see what I mean. In Acts chapter 4, verse 19, the Sanhedrin call in Peter and John and they command them not to speak again in the name of Jesus. What does Peter and John say? Chapter 4 of Acts, verse 19. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than obey God. Sometimes we are called upon to make spiritual judgments, to discern things in the spiritual realm and the moral realm. And to make those judgments between what is right and wrong is not judging of the kind that Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 6. So if you can carry on, and 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 15. It says here, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. There's judging that is condemning men and being hypocritical as we do so, but there's judgment which is merely discerning, spiritual discernment, judging between truth and error, right and wrong. And, you know, Paul keeps appealing to that judging, to that judgment or that discernment. So later on in 1 Corinthians, just to give you two more verses, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15, he's speaking about idol feasts. And he says, therefore, in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 10, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Verse 15, I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Here is Paul, the apostle of Jesus, calling for our judgment, for our discernment in a particular matter. And he'll say it again later in chapter 11 as he teaches on worship. And he says in verse 13, judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Not that I'm about to unpack that passage. But he calls for discernment. Judge for yourselves. This is the apostle of Jesus who said, do not judge. And yet he's saying, judge for yourselves. And there's no contradiction between the two because we're talking about two different kinds of judging. Do you get that? So to make, to discern or judge on spiritual and moral things is not the kind of judgment that Jesus was saying we shouldn't be part of. There's a second kind of judgment. So now we go back to Luke, where we were, Luke chapter 6. Okay, and he says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Or in Luke's version, do not judge, and you will not be judged. But look what he says in Luke chapter 12. Let's speak generally about... Again, I've turned back to Matthew, not Luke. So that's why I couldn't find the verse I was looking for. Luke chapter 12. And I just read the bit about interpreting the signs of the times in verse 57. Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? And then Jesus goes on to say this, as you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge may turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. And Jesus says that without in any sense suggesting that this judge is doing something wrong, that there shouldn't be a judge. Oh, this nasty man, this judge working with a prison officer, a horrible man, he shouldn't be judging anyone. Jesus doesn't say that. There is a place in human affairs for the right people to pass due judgment. Does that make sense? And not just those who are in positions of authority, like judges or magistrates, as he goes on to speak about in Romans 13. But in the same chapter, Luke chapter 12, go back to verse 14. Someone in the crowd, verse 13 of Luke chapter 12, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Now, what's he saying to these guys? This is the guy arguing with his brother about his inheritance. And Jesus says, who appointed me as a judge? You judge. Who appointed me as an arbiter? You and your brother go and sort it out. Make a judgment in normal, everyday human affairs. That's what Jesus is saying. That's a different kind of judging to what he was talking about in Luke chapter 6. And so just in everyday human affairs, whether it's those in positions of authority like magistrates and judges, or whether it's all of us sometimes have to be involved in making a judgment and settling a dispute, like over this inheritance. But even in the body of Christ, this has to happen. So in 1 Corinthians 5, two very good examples in chapter 5 and then again in chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians 5, he's speaking to the church in Corinth about this guy who had been sexually immoral and the fact that they were doing nothing about it. So let me read to you verse, this is the apostle of Jesus, remember? The apostle of the one who said, do not judge. But he says here in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 3 to 5, even though I'm not physically present, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this. Now, if you struggle with that in the light of Luke 6, you haven't understood what Jesus meant in Luke 6, but equally what he didn't mean in Luke 6. Because here's the apostle of Jesus saying, even though I'm not physically present, I'm with you in spirit, and I have passed judgment. Those who, as elders or as apostles over churches, sometimes have to exercise discipline in a church, have to make judgments on certain things. And that's not what Jesus meant when he said, do not judge. That's when we set ourselves up over someone and we think he's accountable to us and we ignore the plank and take out the speck and condemn the person. And that attitude and that heart that we carry around, and that's definitely wrong. But within the body of Christ sometimes, those in authority and have to exercise discipline sometimes have to make some judgments. And I've already passed judgment on the one who did this. And then he says, you need to be involved in this. You need to carry this out because I'm not there. So you need to carry it out. So he says, when you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit and the power of the Lord Jesus present. Hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed, but the spirit saved on the day of the Lord. And if you look at verse 12 and 13 of this, at the end of this chapter, he says this: what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? So there's a kind of judging that is legitimate. That's what I'm trying to say. As long as we clearly understand the difference. But here was an apostle writing to church saying that certain judgments or a discipline has to be exercised. You have to make a judgment on these things and then you have to enact it. And he says, it's not that we do this with those outside the church, but we need to do that within the church. Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. And then he explains the measure that is appropriate in this case. Expel the wicked man from among you. So and if you go on chapter 6, look what happens immediately after that in Luke 6, 1 Corinthians 6. If any of you has a dispute with one another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? In other words, there is judging we're involved in, not the kind that Jesus was unhappy about in Luke 6. But just in everyday human affairs, sometimes we have to be involved in settling disputes, in mediating, in finding what is right and wrong in a case, and making a judgment, and then enacting it. Do you know that we will judge angels? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. So there is a judging, firstly, which Jesus does not mean in Luke 6. There is a judging which is a spiritual discerning or judging between right and wrong, truth and error. And secondly, there is judgment that is needed in everyday human affairs, both in the world, but even in the church. And those are not the things that Jesus is speaking about. But there's one more, and this is the particularly important one. Have you ever heard people living however they might want to live, and as soon as you try and say anything to them, they'll use this phrase: only God will judge me. Don't talk to me. Don't condemn me. Don't judge me. Only God will judge me. And then they go off and carry on doing exactly what they want to do. Now, it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds right. But there's a flaw in the logic. They've missed the point. The point is God will judge them. And God has let us know in advance how he will judge us precisely so that we can avoid that judgment. So when you go to somebody who's living in a certain way and you know that that thing is not pleasing to God and it's going to invite some kind of judgment, and you go to them and you share that, you are not being judgmental in the way that Jesus was talking about in Luke 6. You might be, just guard your heart. If you go there with a superior attitude and that you're faultless and this guy's dirty and horrible, and if you're doing it in a judgmental way, certainly, then Luke 6 applies. Do not judge or you too will be judged. Do not condemn or you too will be condemned. But if you go in humility and compassion, and because of your love for that person, you say, look, if you keep on doing that thing, this is likely to be the end result. That is not necessarily being judgmental. That is simply letting the person know the judgments of God. And it's the mercy of God that he tells us in advance what his judgments are going to be. And it's the mercy of God through you that you tell somebody in advance what God's judgments are going to be. So this line, well, only God will judge me, don't speak to me, it just doesn't wash. We had a case, some of you know, just a couple of years back, where two homosexual men started visiting the church. We opened our hearts to them. We did our best to obviously include them, welcome them, minister to them, but never at the cost of being clear and upfront with them about what we believe Scripture says about homosexuality. And on one of the second and the final occasion where Tony and I just sat with them, and the one guy used a phrase just like this: well, you know, no man will judge me. You know, only God will judge me. And I just had to say to him, well, you know, I'm not judging you. I've had a similar past. I've got all sorts of sins of my own. I'm only where I am because of the grace of God, not because I'm righteous in myself. But I'm letting you know in compassion and in truth that if you continue with that thing, God will judge you. It's ridiculous for them to say, well, only God will judge me, so don't speak to me about it. That's just like putting your head in the sand when there's a hurricane approaching. You know what I'm saying? So proclaiming, as long as it is with the right heart, with a pure heart, and God knows if we're doing that or not, but simply proclaiming God's judgment on things is not the kind of judging that Jesus is speaking about in Luke 6. And so if someone says that to me, well, only God will judge me, or no man will judge me, I'll say, well, no, I'm not judging you. No man is judging you, but you've said it. You've said it, but you've missed the point. God will judge you. And he's telling you in advance how he will judge precisely so that you can save yourself from it. So again, let's just close this bit about judging with a few texts that make that clear. I mean, here we are in Luke. And before we even got to Luke 6, where we are now, we looked at John the Baptist in Luke 3. And I think it's chapter 3, verse 7, where those guys, the crowds come to John because it's the latest thing, it's the cool thing, it's the exciting thing happening in the desert. And he comes to them and says, you brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the coming wrath? Now, why did John say that? He said that because that clearly was his message. His message was that he was telling people about judgment to come, and he was calling on them to flee that judgment by repenting and getting baptized. It would have been meaningless for him to say that if that hadn't already been what he had been preaching. When he said to these guys, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? That's clearly what he was preaching, flee the coming wrath. What was John the Baptist doing? He was saying, well, judgment is coming, but here's how you can avoid it. Repent and get baptized. That's not being judgmental. That's being loving. As long as it's done in the right way, with the right heart. Jesus does the same thing. I don't think his hearers understood that's what he was doing. But here in Luke, where we are, he did the same thing in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 14. He says, but it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Because basically he was coming to these towns and they weren't repenting, even though the Son of God was amongst them. And he was saying, it'll be more bearable for people in the past who had lesser prophets go to them and they repent. It'll be more bearable for them in the judgment than it'll be for you. And if anyone was hearing him with a godly heart, that person would have said, well, let me make sure I'm not part of that judgment. He goes on in Luke chapter 11 to do that a few times as well. Queen of South will rise at this judgment with the men of this generation, condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. If you'd been a hearer there and you didn't have a hard heart, you'd say, oops, how can I avoid being part of that judgment? In Luke 19, okay, I'm just, for the sake of time, I could use that verse, but let me go on to the book of Acts. And here's Acts chapter 10, and Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his household. And he says this in chapter 10, verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he, that's Jesus, is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. So even as he preaches Jesus, our Savior, he's also saying that God has appointed him as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So he's not just speaking judgment. He's saying, here's Jesus. This is how we can be forgiven. So he's proclaiming salvation. He's proclaiming the Savior, but at the same time, he's being appointed by God as the judge of the living and the dead. And so let's move on to another case in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Again, Paul's preaching this time in Athens. And chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. And he says in the verse 30, in the past God overlooked such ignorance, people worshipping false gods, idols. In the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And so Paul is proclaiming God's judgment that's coming, but precisely so that people can avoid it by taking the right action. And the right action in this case is repentance. He's commanded all men everywhere to repent. And so he's not being judgmental in the way that Jesus is talking about in Luke 6. He's simply proclaiming God's judgment on things so that we can avoid it. And I've got a whole lot of other verses here that might say the same thing. Let me perhaps just take two more. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You could read it, verses 9 to 11. I'm just going to move on. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. This is a very clear example of what I'm speaking about. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. Why? For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Is the writer of this letter being judgmental when he says that? No, he's simply saying there's judgment coming for those who live like that. Therefore, don't live like that. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So hopefully I've demonstrated, I've needed to go outside of Luke 6 to explain what Jesus is saying there and what he's not saying. He's not saying, when he says do not judge, that we should never exercise discernment or judgment between spiritual truth and error and right and wrong in spiritual and moral things. We are to judge in that way. He's not saying that there isn't a place for due judgment in the everyday affairs of men and indeed not only in the world but in the church, and that judgment has to take place. And he's certainly not saying that we are never to share or proclaim God's judgment on things. But we proclaim it precisely as people, as sinners saved by grace, as beggars who found the bread first, and not as anything else. We say to people, yes, only God will judge, but that's precisely the point. He will judge. Let's avoid that judgment by not living in that way. Those are the kinds of judging or judgment that Jesus is not talking about. And we need to be careful that we don't get hoodwinked, intimidated, or bullied by the world into just not judging anything and calling everything nice and acceptable and not calling anything or anyone wrong in anything. That's not what Jesus is speaking about. What he is speaking about, and I finish here because this is where the emphasis needs to be, because it's what Luke 6, it's the side of the truth that Luke 6 is teaching to. What he is saying is, let's not be judgmental. Let's not be superior. Let's not be arrogant. Let's not think that we have the speck or indeed have nothing and the other guy has the plank. Let's not be hypocritical. Let's not set ourselves up as people's judges. Let's not think we're better than. And consciously or unconsciously, we just go around judging people and forever trying to take the plank out of their eye and not seeing the plank in our own. And that's what he is saying. So do not judge, do not condemn. And what we are to do, by contrast, I think I already spoke on last week. We are to forgive and we are to give. And last week when I spoke about praying for your enemies, praying for those who ill-treat you, I spoke about the fact of how we need to truly forgive. Because you can't pray while there's unforgiveness. And praying for people has to involve forgiving them. So I've taught already on forgiving and I've taught already on giving, but that is emphasized again in this passage. I had more to say, but for the sake of time, I'm going to stop there and just say a short prayer. Okay, let's do that.